First, childbirth can be expensive for anyone, no matter your income. Giving birth in America is more expensive than in any other country. Hospital bills can be confusing to interpret, insurance companies can be difficult to reach, and this all happens while you're going through a major life change. This experience becomes even more overwhelming when you are uninsured and trying to find the least expensive route to having a healthy, happy baby. Molly Osberg is a staff writer at Splinter News. Her recent piece is called Pregnant, Uninsured, and Adrift. Molly, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. Some might hear pregnant and uninsured and picture young, low-income, unemployed mothers, but you found that there's a lot more variety in that group than there is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are more than 10 million uninsured women in America. And the women that I spoke to were uninsured for a number of reasons. You know, their employer-sponsored health care hadn't quite kicked in yet. They had issues getting on Medicaid or retroactively finding out that they weren't on Medicaid. I mean, there are a number of reasons that a woman might find herself in this position.
Before we dig in and talk more specifically about the women you spoke with, let's talk about the costs of pregnancy and delivery. How much in general does it cost to have a baby if there are no complications?
Oh, geez. I think it's something like $11,000 is the standard price, which can go all the way up to, I think, $30,000 maybe if you have a C-section with complications.
And that's not even taking into account if a child is born with, say, a chronic condition or serious health concerns that might require the baby to be, say, in the neonatal ICU or something like that. This is just basically getting the baby into the world.
Right, exactly.
So for a lot of women without insurance, that means doing the bare minimum of preventive care, doctor visits, aside from the actual birth. What are some of the corners that you found women were cutting to try to save some money?
Well, I mean, the first one is certainly just cutting down on the number of doctor visits and prenatal care that you get in the first place. I mean, one woman that I spoke to, I think that she had one ultrasound during her entire pregnancy before she went into labor.
And so what, so people are, women are just going to the doctor less, but what kind of implications can that have for pregnancy?
I mean, I think that's just a really terrifying time in the best of circumstances. A lot of the women that I spoke to were incredibly lucky to finish labor at least with, you know, $10,000 worth of debt. You know, and you see women in, you know, even other circumstances driving, 50 miles to the nearest low income clinic, things like that. It's just an incredible drain.
And it seems like it would be even hard to know what costs you might be incurring in that prenatal care, let alone once you're in the hospital and in labor, because I've had, you know, some recent doctor visits and some things done that I didn't know until much later when I got a bill for, you know, what wasn't covered by my insurance, what those procedures even cost. I mean, I guess I could have asked, but, you know, there's also kind of a sense of, you know, being intimidated maybe by being in the doctor's office, not being able to think of everything you wanted to bring up, things like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the first thing that you stop doing when you realize that you can't pay for healthcare is asking those sorts of questions. I mean, you really find that women who are uninsured during their pregnancy are just not even really thinking to ask these kinds of questions.
So you talked with women, a variety of women in a variety of situations, but there really seemed to be kind of a common thread that timing is everything. So it depends when you get pregnant, when maybe your insurance kicks in. Not everyone gets insurance on day one of a job. Sometimes it's 6 months in. Can you give us maybe a story or two of the women that you talked to for whom the timing didn't work out well?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so funny to watch people try to time their pregnancies along with their insurance coverage. One woman that I spoke to, actually, she had changed jobs and was covered under COBRA for, I think, 8 months after her job. And she'd actually been trying to have a child over and over and over again and kept having tragically miscarriages. And she sort of looked at the calendar and realized when her health insurance was going to run out and decided to stop trying with her husband. And then, you know, less than a month later, found out that she was pregnant. Yeah. And at that point, there's really, you know, at that point in their lives, there wasn't much that they were going to do. I mean, she certainly wasn't going to terminate the pregnancy at that point. So she just sort of had to hope for the best in situations like that.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and I think you actually talked to at least one woman for whom the opposite was true, where she realized she was pregnant, did the math, and she was going to be due about a week before her insurance kicked in.
Yes, absolutely. And then it turned out that she actually delivered early, so she didn't have insurance. She was covered, I think, maybe 2 weeks after giving birth, but not for her labor, which then I think cost her $20,000, something like that.
We are talking with Molly Osberg. She's a staff writer at Splinter News. Her recent piece is called Pregnant, Uninsured, and Adrift. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Were you or someone close to you in a situation of expecting a child while uninsured? Do you have a story about the cost of pregnancy, even with insurance? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up that conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're continuing the conversation with Molly Osberg, a staff writer at Splinter News. We're talking about the cost of childbirth and pregnancy when you don't have adequate insurance. And we want to hear your stories at 800-642-1234. Was paying for childbirth a struggle for you, whether you were insured or not? Did you find ways to save money through the pregnancy that you'd like to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Molly, you know, I think insurance can be tricky to navigate for anyone, but when you're pregnant, does that make it even more complicated?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's one of the things I've in this particular situation, what I found so interesting after doing a lot of other reporting on healthcare insurance for people who had sort of like traumatic issues is that you would think that being pregnant would be this incredibly natural process. And I think that no one really thinks as their first question when they get pregnant about their healthcare bills and insurance costs, right? You're already concerned with so many things, the health of the baby.
Right. And what kind of insurance options might be available to women who maybe didn't have insurance themselves, but now that they're pregnant, does that open any doors for them or does it close more doors than open them?
Well, I mean, you could say one of the comments that I get a lot when I do these sorts of stories is that there are a lot of, you know, places say Planned Parenthood, low income birth centers, things like that, where you can actually get care. But, you know, in terms of even the state-sponsored marketplaces, the Affordable Care Act, they've modeled themselves on the private insurance companies. So you actually, you can't get prenatal care through like an Obamacare program. It really doesn't kick in until the moment that you give birth.
So some women that you spoke with were weighing the choice between paying high monthly insurance premiums versus paying for the pregnancy costs, pregnancy and delivery costs out of pocket. I think one said she felt like she was paying in installments in advance mm-hmm. by paying those premiums. They were each looking at their own personal individual circumstances. You were looking more at the big picture. Did you find that one of those options seem to have better results for people?
Oh, you know, I wish that I could tell you that one was better than the other. But I mean, so much of this is so dependent on state by state policies, where you happen to be, if you're in a rural area, how far you have to travel to get any of this care. Yeah, I mean, I think that the real balancing act for a lot of these women was trying to negotiate all this themselves, sometimes without adequate information. One of the things that I found really surprising was the number of women who are, say, eligible for Medicaid even, who don't realize it and never even think to try to go for these programs.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Linda in Minneapolis is up. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to share?
I guess what I would like to share is that, you know, I'm in my late 50s, 59, and my first child I did not have any health insurance, and it put me well over, you know, $5,000 in debt, and it ended up having to file bankruptcy. And just looking at the situation, and I was in the 80s, and I'm just sad to see that it's still going on, and I just feel like women need to just there need to be better resources and better information and more availability of that information for them, so that they don't end up in a situation like I did.
And so what was the long-term effect on you and your family of having a baby when it was really not that affordable for you?
Long-term effect, you just made do. You cut corners. I filed bankruptcy. I then went to the county realizing that, there is a program for me that, I can get medical health care for, my then daughter at the time and myself if I decided to have another pregnancy.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Linda. I appreciate you calling with your story. And Molly, one of the things that you pointed out is that some of the women you talked with were actually working with the hospitals in very close contact with them to pay off their bills. And then all of a sudden, they get a notice from a collection agency that they're being taken to court when they thought that they, kind of had an agreement going.
Yeah. I mean, I think that she's absolutely right that the lack of information is a huge barrier for these sorts of things. It's an incredibly difficult system to navigate, so much so that, you have sort of like third-party agencies helping women try to figure out what the best options for them are. I can't say that it seems like that much has changed since the 80s in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Bonnie in Reedsburg is up. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
Hi. What would you like to say?
Well, in 1961, birth control came out, and I just think when people have no insurance, no money, probably no jobs, birth control should be their choice. And am I saying poor people can't have kids? I hope not. Definitely, that is not the Christian way. But I think we need more responsible people. And when I hear about stories about these poor people, like in the paper, there's always the single mothers and children. Where are the fathers? Like the other lady that was talking, she didn't have insurance. What about her husband? Usually, traditionally, a husband and wife both are working. So if one doesn't have it, the other one, we always mm-hmm. have that choice. I could go one place or the other mm-hmm. for insurance.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that, Bonnie. And Molly, I know that at least one of the stories that you outline in your story, it was a woman who did get married when she realized that she was pregnant, but neither of them had insurance through their employers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that especially for people my age, a number of people work jobs that don't provide such steady insurance or maybe move around jobs more often. But certainly all the people that I spoke to for this piece were in committed relationships at the time when they got pregnant and tried to navigate these systems.
And it seems, too, like more and more with the movement towards the gig economy, people are working for themselves, in effect, mm-hmm. on contracts. So less and less options for insurance. Thanks for that call, Bonnie. Let's go to Liz in Waukesha next. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
My concern is and it was briefly mentioned, the attack against women having access to birth control. You can't have it both ways. Women that are young and maybe poor or working part-time for their $7 or $8 an hour can't afford insurance. It's often not offered. And now we got this Republican agenda to make birth control even more difficult for them. And yet they're tightening up the requirements for Medicaid, too. So what do they expect to see? What's the big picture? Where are all these children going to end up? And what kind of homes? Or it's just something that they haven't thought out, apparently.
Great. Thank you, Liz, for that comment. And I want to go back to something, Molly, that we mentioned in the intro to this interview, is that pregnancy and childbirth is the most expensive in the United States compared to other countries. Do we have a sense of why that is? What would need to change to make that not the case?
I have my own personal feelings about what we could do as a country to try to ensure that everyone has access to healthcare. But I don't know that if I'm really in a position to explain why the cost of giving birth has tripled since 1996. I think it's pretty complicated.
Lindsay Ann on Facebook wrote that she had two home births that cost less than $3,000 for each. She says that for the second pregnancy, she was backed up with Badger Care. She adds it's certainly not for every woman, but it was what worked best for her family. And I do remember in your article at least one woman who opted for kind of more natural birth and delivery because she was trying to avoid costs.
Yeah, but the funny thing with that is that she tried to do the same thing, I think, that a lot of women do. But then she ended up, I think, being in a hospital when they found out that she was about to go into labor. And she ended up there, I think, in a 30-hour labor or something like that. I mean, I think that a lot of women do try to do that, but unfortunately, you just sort of don't know which way it's going to go. And say, if your pregnancy has complications, they're going to want to be in a hospital. You don't know what kind of a cost you're going to incur doing that.
Right. Let's go back to the phones, and Hank is in Galena, Illinois. Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to share?
So my wife and I, when we had our son, we had insurance. And even though we had insurance, when we first brought her in under my insurance, because we were just barely married when we found out we were pregnant and everything, they were like, well, you need to give us $7,000 at the doctor's office, like right now. Mm. And I told them no, that we were going to let them bill us and we were going to negotiate those bills. And they obviously didn't have a choice. They had to do it that way. And most people wouldn't even know that. But you can negotiate with the bills, and you can at least get 20% off every time somebody comes at your door with a bill. You can pay it during that first month. You can at least get 20% off of it. So a lot of times you can get a lot more.
Great. Well, thank you for that tip, Hank, and I'm glad that that worked for you and your wife. And Molly, I want to make sure before we run out of time that we mention that you touch on the experience of uninsured women of color in your article. How is their experience different from white women?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that the biggest thing that I've heard from women that I've spoken to is just like a real difficulty being heard by the doctors and healthcare providers that they speak to, whether they're insured or uninsured. A lot of the data suggests that even women of color who are insured and have great support systems end up in really dire situations. The maternal mortality rate is absolutely huge for that community. So it really suggests that insurance has very little to do with what's going on there.
And let's go back to the phones, and Nancy in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Nancy.
Good afternoon. I'm listening to this with great interest because I had my first child in 1951, obviously many, many decades ago. The total cost for maternity care, including the cost of the delivery, was $50. Hmm. The cost to take care of the baby in the nursery in the hospital was $4 a day. Now, my maternity care consisted of seeing the doctor once a month for 7 months, twice a month for the 8th month, and every week for the 9th month. And as it happened, I went almost a whole month overdue. So I got lots and lots of office visits, more than I really wanted to, because the doctor's office was on the 2nd floor and they had no elevator. And toward the end of a 10-month pregnancy, it got pretty tough climbing stairs. But my main reason for calling was the exorbitant costs that you're talking about today. I cannot conceive that this could even be happening.
Thanks for that call, Nancy. We're getting just a little short on time. And Molly, I'm sure if we had a handy dandy calculator for what $50 in 1951 was, it would not be anywhere near what people are paying for deliveries today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. So in just a couple minutes that we have left, you know, when you wrote this article, another thing came to your attention and you wrote a follow up. Many families receive bills in the names of their infant children for basically things that happen once the baby is born. What did you find when you looked closer at that?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's actually a pretty common hospital policy, and one that is sort of billed separately through the insurance. But then you end up with all these bizarre little quirks in the system. Like I spoke to one person whose baby apparently chose an out-of-network provider for several hundred dollars while his wife was sleeping, and so they got those bills separately, which comes as a huge shock to a lot of women. You know, when down the line, you know, even years later, one person that I spoke to had gotten some of these bills in their child's name.
Well, and it also seems that in a weird way, you know, when we talk about like consumer protection and things like that, one of the areas that's kind of come out in the last few years is that you should really put a freeze on your child's credit record because, you know, if people get a hold of your two-year-old's social security number and take out loans and stuff, you might not know until that child is like 18. So if those bills actually go into collections, is that on the credit report of you know, a six-month-old baby?
Yeah, well, so technically one would imagine that that's not supposed to happen. I mean, I don't, like, legally, you know, those children aren't responsible for those bills since it's since they're minors, right? And they would actually be on the parent's credit report, although I certainly do not put it past collections agencies to have tried.
And as we wrap up, Molly, you know, you said that, you know, it's too big a question to kind of ask, you know, what would need to change for pregnancy and childbirth not to be the most expensive in the U.S. compared to the rest of the world, and, you know, for insurance to be more understandable, things like that. But are there any kind of discrete things that you could see that the medical system could change that would make this a better experience for pregnant women, whether they have insurance or not? Because what you found out and what we heard from Hank and Galena is having insurance isn't a magic bullet.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly that one of the things for the like Affordable Care Act marketplace would be to actually consider getting pregnant a significant life event and allow people to sign up for state-sponsored health care. I also think that I think that's it.
Okay.
That's really my big thing, yeah.
And if you were going to give someone advice, if they just found out they were pregnant, they don't have insurance, what would be the best thing that they could do today?
I think that trying to educate yourself as much as possible about the options that are open to you, and probably calling one of the many wonderful nonprofit organizations that help people navigate this stuff would be my best thing.
Molly, thank you so much. Molly Osberg is a staff writer at Splinter News.